It's The Car Doctor with Kevin Raywinkle and Tom Claxton on FM Talk 106.5. Call Kevin and Tom now at 343-0106 with your car maintenance and repair questions. The doctor is in.
And welcome to The Car Doctor Show. This is Car Doctor Kevin Raywinkle along with Tom Claxton. If you have any questions, give us a call or send us a text, 343-0106. Show is brought to you by UJ Chevrolet, serving Mobile since 1939, Alabama Pipe and Supply, Competition Head Service, and Ed Seafood Shed.
Yes, but Eddie Pete's Fandabulous.
Yep.
Home of great food. They put food in their food.
They put real food in their food.
In their food, yeah. And I can't wait till the Pasta Palace gets open at Eddie Pete's place in Fairhope. So,
yep.
Looking forward to that probably next week, so.
You know it's going to be good.
Ooh, I'm going to be over there in line. I want some of the spaghetti, and then I want some of the pasta. They make their own pasta.
Mm-hmm.
And then
with a name like Panini Pete, yeah, better be good. So
don't you know you can take one of them adult beverages with you know, one of them big Slurpees to go with that pasta.
Yep. You know? Absolutely. Well, I guess everybody noticed that summer's here.
What was it, 107 day?
Well, I think the heat index was pushing 110. It was 107 or 8.
And it's supposed to be 110 heat index all dang week.
All week. So it's going to be interesting, that's for sure. It's here to stay. I'm not used to it being quite this hot this early. So,
that's not
a good sign for the summer.
Right.
Yeah.
I can't get in my car and turn on the air conditioner without reaching over and immediately hitting the recirculate button.
Right.
Because it is not going to take care of the temperature if you don't hit the recirculate.
No, it's got to, because you start drawing in that outside air at all. You've killed what you're doing. You know?
Yes, it won't work. It just doesn't work.
No. But, it's even, we're starting to see tires and, some cooling system issues and that kind of stuff. And we're covered up with AC work.
I can imagine.
It's never in the battle. And we run across something today, and it's been a nationwide issue for a while, and this is the first time we run across it. But this new 1234YF refrigerant that they're using, it's been out about 5 years or so. Don't put anything but that stuff in it. I know it's expensive, and, but as soon as you put something else in it,
in the system,
they have some stuff that's supposed to work.
Some stuff on the aftermarket that's supposed to work and is cheaper.
Yeah,
that don't normally work.
Well, but as soon as you have one comes in, we hook our machine to it. I can't touch it. Yeah, because my machine checks the purity of the refrigerant.
Oh, really?
And it will not let me pull it out of the car.
Well, you ruin your machine, though, wouldn't you?
Right. It contaminates everything in the machine and the reserve tank.
Well, back in the day when we had our other machines, it wouldn't detect that, and we would wind up loading our machines up with some of that off the wall stuff, even propane people had put in stuff, and ruin our machines.
Yep. And there is a way to get rid of it, but trust me, it is going to cost you. Can't release it in air because you don't know what it is to begin with. Your identifier will give you an idea what it is, but it won't tell you exactly what it is.
Oh, my God. So do you – okay.
So they make a special machine you got to hook up. Well, okay, the problem is, first off, you're putting it into a special storage vessel, which is like a tank.
And it's like a little propane tank something?
Well, it's like a refrigerant
bottle. Refrigerant bottle?
But
okay.
Storage bottle.
Yeah.
And it's specific for it. And it costs about $500.
What?
For just the bottle. Okay. Then you got to, once you store it, you got to give it to somebody to recycle it.
Well, who can recycle that?
I have no idea. So, guess what? We're not going to work on them. Yeah.
Holy
cow. That's not the way they
come
from the factory. We're not going to work on them. Yeah.
So, what's going to happen is they're going to go out to probably some little small shop, and the guy's going to go open the damn thing up and let it all go into the air. Yeah. And here goes all those chemicals in the air and all.
Exactly.
And then he's going to put his little old pump on it and vacuum it down and and try to reload it with the right 1, 2, 3, 4 stuff.
Right. Which, you know, and like I say, by the time, okay, I've got to
you can't do
pay
that.
For the equipment.
You can't do that.
I've got to – you're going
they
buy,
will
you're
put a lock that, on your building.
Right. You got to buy that vessel, you know, and then I got to figure out how to get rid of it.
Right.
You know.
Well, back in
so
the day,
somebody,
you know.
And whoever owns that car is going to pay for all that.
Well, they're going to have to.
It's not a warranty issue.
Yeah.
So.
Well, you know, but they let somebody on the aftermarket somewhere or some friend
right.
talk them
right.
into, oh, this stuff is just as good.
It'll cool better.
Oh, it'll cool better and it's a lot cheaper.
Right. Put the stuff that's supposed to be
hell no.
These cars cool extremely well, you know. They've done an incredible job of getting the systems to cool.
It is,
with
yeah.
much less refrigerant.
I was in a bit. I was in one of, to interrupt you a second, but about how cold it is. One of my buddies and I were at a funeral Saturday, and he's worked for a city, a county, whatever, and they have he has a hybrid car.
Right.
And I got in that thing, and it must have been 105, 110 outside.
Mm-hmm.
And he said, I already got the air conditioning on, and I reached up, and I thought icicles was going to get on my hand.
Yeah.
That thing was blowing so cold.
Yep. Well, I mean, and it's sitting there. It doesn't matter whether you're running down the road, whatever. The compressor runs at the speed it needs to run at and all this, and it's optimized.
Right.
Whereas a gas burner or diesel, whatever. It varies a little bit by the speed of the motor.
Yeah.
Yeah, because that compressor in that car is electric. It doesn't care what the motor's
doing. It's like a winder unit. They got their own winder unit in the car.
Right.
So. You know, we talked about that 20 years ago, that was going to happen when they started getting all the electric stuff and getting the hybrids, that they wouldn't have to worry about all that. Now they could just get them a winder unit, you know, and attach it to the car. But now they're doing it at the factory.
Right. I actually got a kick out of Ford, you know, released their Ford Lightning truck.
Yeah.
One of the pieces they give you is a charging cable for a Tesla.
So
if you get it, I think that was a little dig at Elon Musk, but they give you a charging cable so you can charge up your Tesla off of your Ford.
My goodness. But wait a minute. That being said now, could you charge off of the Tesla charging machine with that cable and charge that vehicle?
I don't know. Don't honestly know on that one.
I wonder if that thing would go both ways. A charging system would work both ways.
Yeah, it's possible. It's possible. But, you know, the Fords, they have their own little power supply system on there. And
yeah, they do. They can run, you know, one of the things that I thought was very unique about it is if a guy has got his own little home repair business or some kind of air conditioned business or plumbing business or whatever, or, you know, he could be home painter or whatever.
Yeah.
I mean, you can pull up on the site with all your stuff and plug into your vehicle and it will run all your power tools.
Yeah. And even the GM stuff does the same.
Well, it does.
Which, you know, the truck hasn't been released yet. It'll be out early next year. So, the Silverado electric. So that's coming. Yeah.
I read an article. We got a caller.
Yeah, we do have a caller
on line.
Caller, you with us? Yellow caller.
Hello.
Hey.
Hey.
Is this Kim?
That sounds like
yes,
Kim.
It is.
Hey, Mr. Beck, how you doing tonight?
The Kim Beck.
Man.
Woo.
How y'all doing?
Oh, we're hanging in there.
We're doing fine. We're just kind of scared to ask you where you're at and what you're doing, knowing the things that you have been involved in the last couple of years.
Hey, it might not be safe to ask.
Oh, my goodness.
But, yes, I'm out here with Elon.
Yep. Uh-oh. Uh-oh. First name basis.
Yep.
Ooh.
Yep.
Ooh.
Yeah.
Ooh.
I've been in California.
All right.
And I've been out there close to a year now.
In California?
And, got all them set up and going and everything. And now then Mr. Musk has got this new, brand new factory out here in Austin, Texas. GG, Texas. Woo. And so they brought me out here to start up on it so I can sit everything. Because I put my mouth where I shouldn't have. I said, you know what? If I would have set this up, this is the way I'd have done it.
Uh-oh.
Well,
show me.
They helped me to word it. So, okay, here's your brand new. It's set up the way you want it.
Right.
Well, no, I'm not going to say that no more.
You better hope it works.
I don't know. Once you get back home and start cashing those checks or you see the amount in that bank account, you might do it any that way.
That might be true.
Yeah.
Yep. No.
Well, Kim, sounds like
Alabama boy like me. You know, they don't think we believe in money.
Right. Kim, looks like you called us right before a break here. Hang on a little bit, and we'll get back to you right after these messages. Oh, okay.
All right.
And we're gonna let you hear from our fine sponsors, and we'll be back.
You know my motor won't even turn. You know I've been running with a fast class of women. You know they called my little car to run.
It's The Car Doctor with Kevin Raywinkle and Tom Claxton on FM Talk 106.5. Call Kevin and Tom now at 343-0106 with your car maintenance and repair questions. The doctor is in.
Well, I left Kentucky back in and welcome back to The Car Doctor Show. This is The Car Doctor, Kevin Raywinkle, along with Tom Claxton. And online we have Mr. Ken Beck and coming to us live from Texas.
David, Ken Beck is with us tonight.
So, Kim, I know you're setting up the new paint division there for Tesla and trying to get all that up and going. I know those people are way smarter than all of us devising what kind of paint and everything to use on these cars. Are they coming up with anything different? Are we still using, you know, the same stuff we've been using the last few years, or what are we doing?
No, they're using a water-based paint on this one. It's a waterborne paint.
Uh-huh.
The other models and like Ford and some of those, they were using a solvent-based paint.
Yeah.
Tesla's actually using a water-based paint on theirs.
Okay.
So I guess I guess that makes sense because they're supposed to be all green and everything, so they're going to use a water-based paint that's supposed to be all green too, I guess.
Right. Hey, I mean, that's good. So they haven't had any kind of issues with it being an all-electric vehicle that doesn't cause any kind of corrosion issues or anything like that on these?
Oh, no.
Yeah. Nope.
It's a pretty cool concept, the way they've got these little things put together. I was looking at they've got a mock-up one. They've got all the parts hung up, suspended in air, you know how it goes.
Right.
You know, the little electric motors, for the front, the little electric motor for the back, and a big old huge flat, probably about 6 inches thick, like a 4x8 sheet of plywood.
Yeah.
That you sit on underneath the floorboard, that's the floorboard of it.
Right. Huh.
So, range from anywhere 350 to 500 miles, depending on which model you get.
Right. Which, that's not bad at all. I mean, because really, if I put 300 miles on something, I'm ready to get out anyway.
Oh, yeah, you got that right.
Yeah, I guess the tricky thing is how quick can you charge it when you don't get to that point. But, and having the charging stations, yeah.
Well, I tell you what Elon did. He, on his new Twitter page or whatever he's got, somebody was complaining about the battery life on the cars and stuff. So he got in a car himself and drove from, California to Las Vegas just to test the battery life. Well, the battery ran out. Well, he picked up the phone, made a phone call, and he said, stop production. He said, we're not selling that car with this battery anymore. He said, they're right. Nobody should sell this car. So he pulled that one off the production line and now they're putting a brand new battery in them.
Huh. Yeah. Hey, so, I mean, you got to appreciate it that they're doing that. And I was just talking to one of the GM engineers today a little bit, and about the new Silverado coming out and the H, the what do they call it, the H2 or whatever it is, the new electric Hummer.
Yeah,
it's you know, of course that platform, and luckily that's out there being run because the Silverado is built on the same platform. Basically, it's just a different body on the same chassis, and so they're testing it, and they've got it out there in other people's hands. And I asked him how it was going with that, and he said, "Really and truly, the drive systems have been pretty much trouble free. You know, they have had, you know, the one that someone decided to go about headlights deep into muddy water, you know, trying to play with it and say, well, it's an off-road vehicle. I ought to be able to do that with it." Yeah.
Yep.
Yeah, and that's, you know, it's all well and good, but I don't know that one's exactly made for that. But
yeah, I don't think I'd be the one want to be the first one to try it out.
Right, right. Yeah. I don't know that I really want to be have that much battery juice and three phase power and all that and go dunk it in the water.
Hell, so, no. You know, no.
Yep. But,
here's the question I've been asking. I know y'all call me for answers and stuff like that, but I've been asking, what's the life expectancy of these vehicles?
Yeah.
You know, and I haven't had nobody to give me an answer yet. You know, what is the life expectancy? You know, 200,000 miles, 300,000 miles? You know, what's the life expectancy? And I haven't got anybody, you know, they just kind of throw their arms up and say, well, I don't think there is a life expectancy. You know?
Right, so, right.
So, you know, as long as you got a battery, I reckon it just keeps on ticking.
Right. And I think that's where the real catch point is on all these electric vehicles is, okay, you go buy one and say it takes you 6 or 7 years to break even on your carbon footprint and the money you spend and all this kind of stuff, okay? But that battery life right now is expected to last about 10 years, 10 or 11. You know, it's warranted for almost 10, I think most of them are. But, you know, when it's time to replace that battery, you've just about bought another car, you know, because.
Oh, yeah.
I mean, you're 20, you did it right. 20 grand into putting a battery in it. Yeah.
Yep.
So, you know, at that point, you've got a 10 or 11 year old car. How many people are going to put that kind of money into a battery? Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
I think they're going to have to come up with a better replacement option. You know, whether it be a reman or a just something to bring the cost down on the batteries.
That's what I'm looking at. You know, mm-hmm. That's what I've been keeping my eyes out on too, is a reman battery, because you know these batteries are got to be refurbished somehow or another.
Right. Right. Which, you know, they're just, most of them are just little lithium batteries, you know, all connected together. I mean, if you look at them, it looks, and you take apart your drill motor battery, it's very similar the way they're
right.
set up. I mean,
right.
It's way more sophisticated. Yeah. I know I'm dumbing it down a lot, but that's basically what they've done is
right.
they've got a bunch of little cells.
You've got five or six little batteries in your hand drill, and you got 2,000 of them in that car.
Right,
you
know? Right. Yeah. And, of course, they have cooling systems to go between the packs and all this kind of stuff, and it's way more sophisticated, but you know they have to have the cooling systems in there too.
They
be able to charge.
In the inverters and the converters and all. You know, there's a lot to it, but still, on the other hand, it's really a simple process when you just really break it down.
Right, right. Yeah, and that's, you know, they're really, really pretty simple. So. You know, the price of the batteries was really the sticky point right now. But I think once they start mass producing, it's like anything else. Once they start build a bunch of them, you know, the price comes way down. Yeah.
Oh, just, yeah.
Just that like, is if like they can, if they can find a good source of the chemicals that have to have to produce those batteries. That's the big thing now. And, you know, China is controlling 80% of all those minerals and chemicals now.
Yeah. So,
that's kind of got us in a ditto there.
Mm-hmm.
That's why I'm going to stick to the paint department.
There you go.
I'm going to make sure they got good paint on them and they look pretty and shiny 10 years from now. And and my job's done.
Yep, yep. If it's sitting on the side of the road with a dead battery and still looks good, you've done your part. So
I've done my part. Then look how good that thing looks sitting on the side of the road.
That's right. There you go, baby. Hey, that car is shining, boy.
Yeah. Man, look at that shiny car. It's yeah. Room, but it's shiny.
All right, well, let's go off in another area. You and Kevin and I have talked about this on numerous occasions over the last 15, 20 years. And that is what's happening to the difference in non-stimular metals in these vehicles, steels and aluminums and what have you, and whereby we've had to utilize special fastening devices, and they have to be new each time that you're used. You can't reuse the bolts on there and all. And then we've had over the years in our systems the dissimilar metals deals goes back to electrolysis and electrical disintegration of the different metals and all. And I know we're fixing to go to a break right now, so we'll give you a chance to think about that. But when we come back, I think that'll be a good area that I'd like to know what you have found and what the industry has found over the years now. On the one hand, I'm worried about the batteries. On the other hand, I'm not. Because it looked just like you said. He got in that car and drove it, headed to Las Vegas, run out of electricity. And he says, stop it. So they improved it already. They can do an improvement on these batteries every week or every 30 days. So yeah. I don't think we've even touched that market yet. But we're going to get a word from our fine sponsors that continue to help us work with the show. And we'll be right back with Mr. Kim Beck.
The old man took my money as he stirred at my Corvette. He said I had one just like her son in 1963. Hell, a man down at the bank took her from me.
It's The Car Doctor with Kevin Raywinkle and Tom Claxton on FM Talk 106.5. Call Kevin and Tom now at 343-0106 with your car maintenance and repair questions. The doctor is in.
And welcome back to the Car Doctor Show. This is Car Doctor Kevin Raywinkle along with Tom Claxton. If you have any questions, give us a call or send us a text, 343-0106. We have Mr. Kim Beck online with us still. Kim, you back with us?
Brother Kim, you on board?
Yeah, there you are.
You taking a nap, huh?
No. I just couldn't pick him up. I said, Kevin, I couldn't pick him up. Oh,
okay.
I got you, though.
Okay. Okay.
You mouth of the South.
Oh, yeah. I'm mouth of the South.
Yeah. Can't nobody tune him out. I'm sorry.
I know, man. So. My turnoff dial is broke.
Yep.
That's true. Hey, what you talking about, though, that galvanic corrosion you were talking about.
Right.
And the dissimilar metals. They've got so many advanced metals now, though, and the way that they protect them. That's just why it's funny you say that, because I was just explaining that to them today about the way that they keep all the dissimilar metals away from each other and the little special shims that they put in between the two pieces of metal, you know, that's compatible to one to the other.
Right.
So it's a very well thought through, very well engineered vehicle.
Right. Well, it's, you know, we've been doing this a long time now. They ought to have that pretty well down now, you know.
Yeah. Ford, General Motors, all of them. You see the same technology in all of them.
Oh, yeah. Yeah. I mean, we see that quite a bit. You know, it's, you know, when you go through collision repair on some of the newer vehicles, you better crack open the manual and see what's supposed to be done where. And I was talking to one of my body techs back there the other day, and you know, on the new Silverado body, the upper, we'll call it the upper structure on the behind the fender between the core support and the cab, it is a welded in structure, okay, and you can splice it twice on the short rail, and one time you can put a full rail in, and then that cab's done.
So, really?
Yep.
Yeah. So.
Oh yeah.
You know, it's and of course, what doesn't really make sense to me, if you're, you know, you're rebonding it to it and all this kind of stuff, clean it up, rebond it. I don't really understand why you can't do it more than once, but that's the way they tell us you gotta do it.
Yeah. Does the metal fatigue, Kim, or what? What's happening?
Yeah, well, okay, y'all are electrical. Why can't you splice a wire so many times?
It gets shorter, you keep cutting it. So,
okay, you lose resistance values and the components of the electrical current going through it. Well, the same thing with the rail or anything. You cut it too many times, you lose that inertia force that goes through it. It changes it and causes the crashworthiness of it.
Right. Which it's, it's all about the crash zones and, how the truck's supposed to fold, to keep the inertia from getting to the driver and passengers. We had I'm sure you haven't seen it, but we had a wreck over the weekend here that somehow they didn't walk away from it, but they stuffed a truck in a culvert to pass the rear tires, and somehow or another the people made it to the hospital, but they were in that culvert for like,
holy cow,
for like 3 or 4 hours. But it's I do not see how they managed to get them out, but kudos to the emergency personnel for getting those people out.
Okay, there wasn't nothing. Yeah. I mean, it squeezed the truck down, Kim, like an egg, going in one of those rounded eggs. There was it looks like one of those big culverts that was like 8 feet tall,
mm-hmm.
But then it squashed down to where it's only about half that high.
Right.
And it's more to the sides than it is height.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So somehow or another, that truck got in a wreck on the highway, lost control, run in that ditch, and it was still out of control, and hit that concrete ditch and went up in that culvert.
Yeah.
You know what? You just never can – you can never say never.
Right.
If it can be done, it's going to happen.
Right.
Well, and that's something
– how many things would you ever think of something like that?
Right. I mean, that's like just like being at a racetrack, they'll look at it and they'll race somewhere for 30, 40 years is like, nobody's ever hit there. There's no way you can get a car
right
there.
Right.
Somebody's going to figure out how to hit that spot.
Yep.
It can happen.
Yep.
That's why, the NASCAR tracks, they put the safer barrier all the way around inside and out pretty much nowadays. They've gotten rid of, the natural grass in a lot of places, and they're getting it to where, you can control your car in these weird places that you would hit. And, I mean, I can remember seeing wrecks years ago where, all the outer wall was protected, but if you come down towards the inside
and cross
infield grass, you were in trouble.
They figured they figured you were scuffing off your speed
going
high, and then once you'd – the car would be spinning and coming down, just drop it off of the incline down into the infield. But it not necessarily worked that way.
No, not always. Not always.
Nope.
Yeah.
So, these cars are what's amazing to me is they've got a team of technicians up here. I call them technicians, the computer techs.
Yeah.
If they have something wrong with this Tesla vehicle, you call in and they fix it through the phone line, through the computer.
Yeah.
Sitting at their desk.
Right.
If you want an extra the self-drive component, mm-hmm. all you do is call them, link it into your car to their computer, and they download it from their computer where they're sitting here on your car in Alabama, wherever it is.
Right. Right.
They just download the program or the app to it.
Yep. Just be ready to swipe your credit card, but I mean it's amazing what they can do, and that's one thing with the Teslas is they don't have many repair facilities throughout the country. I mean, they're a little limited on that, so they have to do a lot of it remotely, which is great that they can.
There's not a hell of a bunch of things can go wrong with it,
Right, right.
Nope. Anything. Normally, that would go wrong with it would probably be software.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah,
it's
a software glitch, whatever that.
Yeah, so it can be controlled and cured with download from the internet.
Right.
Yep.
Right. Which,
and,
you know,
and that's not just Tesla. That's
all the cars now. Yeah,
right, right. I've been running into some of that with GM. Where you know, when we have an issue, and we have to call into our technical assistance lines, and you know, they'll want me to send them the session logs from what I've been doing and checking and driving the car, and you can timestamp that log where certain things happen, and they can go back and look at it and help you.
So you can, in other words, you can take that you, and this is one of the reasons we keep talking about it. You're going to have to take your cars back to the dealership because you can have the type of diagnostic equipment that you can hook to that computer on that car, and you can sit there and run through all of your tests, and or you can get crank it up, drive it down the street, and all got all these things. But then you have a printed record of everything that's happening to it. Mm-hmm. And then if you're not able to handle it on a local basis, just like you say now, you could get on, I guess, the internet, and boom, you download the thing that the, right, you know, the guru up there looks like they did at Tesla.
Right.
And hell, you know, and he can reboot this or to fix him. This is what you need to fix.
Right.
I'm sure people out there that are listening right now have had a computer problem. And the technicians say, "Hey, you know, just do so and so, and let me take control of your screen."
Right.
You know, and they'll be sitting there watching you. Know, your cursor, you know, they'll actually be in control of it.
Yeah.
You know, that's the technology we're in today. You know, they just take control of the thing. You know,
right.
Where they're sitting on their computer and repairing the thing.
Yeah, we actually run into that pretty regular on some of our programming. If we have an issue that we can't work through, and then they can't walk us through, they'll remote into our computer and you know, go straight to the car and see what they can do with it. And you know, that doesn't always work, but it's another tool in their toolbox.
Is there such a thing, both of you guys, you're in the highly technical phase of it, is there such a thing as, I mean, we see where you got to reboot your computer. Do they reboot these cars with the software? I mean, maybe clean up software package out on a certain body control module, let's say, and they can go in and reset that, reprocess.
You can do, and just basically like you do with a computer, where you turn it off and turn it back on. You know, we'll have, at times, we'll get modules that will get into what you call a logic lock. I mean, it'll just lock itself up, just like your computer at home or whatever, and you have to turn it off and let it sit a minute and turn it back on. And the way we do that, I mean, you can't just turn the car off because it's still got power going to that module. You have to actually unhook the battery cables. You take the battery cables, you touch them together to where it pulls down all the capacitors in the system.
What?
So it totally kills all the voltage in all the modules, and then you can
power back up. Don't mess my car up.
Nope. But you can get a lot of it back up and going. And, you know, that may not be a permanent fix, but it'll at least get you to where you can finish diagnosing it.
No kidding.
Not always, but sometimes. Yeah.
It'll get you back to square one.
Yeah. Yeah.
I'll be down.
It basically just reboots that module, and if it will come back alive, it usually will at that point. Sometimes you may have to go in and do a program. If they have an updated program, they can do that. Or we can do that, where we can just go in and program it.
Do we see much of that where they come up with a new program for the whole car, or just on individual phases or pieces of the car?
Well, we've actually just recently got into what they call a sequential programming, which basically goes through all the models in the car and updates all of them.
Woo!
Yeah.
Woo!
Not a huge fan of that, because a lot of times you get into, and what I used to run into, I haven't run into it on the GM car yet, but BMWs back in the day, and I'm sure they're better now, but if you went through and did a sequential program, which was the only way you could program theirs, and say the amplifier for the stereo fails, it will shut you down. You can't go past that.
Oh,
to
really?
Finish programming the car, and you're dead in the water until you fix that module that's bad. So,
holy cow.
So you may not care that the stereo works, but it won't let you go by it. So that's a little different. But
got your boys living and learning.
I'll be
here.
Putting no aftermarket radio in one.
No, don't do that either. Don't do that either. But Kim, yep. Sounds like it's time for us to take a break. But
listen, I don't want to cut y'all short for anything, but I've got to. Elon's calling me.
Okay, well go answer the boss.
Go talk to Elon.
He's writing you a check. Yeah. I'm not, so I go talk to him. So.
Go ahead, brother. We appreciate you taking the time to
Thank
be with us.
Thank you for calling in.
Yes, sir.
Thank you. Y'all have a blessed one.
I'll talk to you some more later.
All right, we'll get with you pretty soon.
Yep. Uh-huh. Mr. Kim Beck. But anyway, we're going to let you hear from our sponsors.
That is so cool.
And,
that is so cool, yep. Guys.
And we'll be back. We won't hesitate. Break down
the garden gate. There's not much time. It's The Car Doctor with Kevin Raywinkle and Tom Claxton on FM Talk 106.5. Call Kevin and Tom now at 343-0106 with your car maintenance and repair questions. The doctor is in.
And welcome back to The Car Doctor Show. This is Car Doctor Kevin Raywinkle along with Tom Claxton. If you have any questions, give us a call, 343-0106. But we do have a couple of callers online we're going to try and get to real quick here on our last segment. But we have Jarhead. Jarhead, what you doing this evening?
Oh, nothing, just listening in, guys. And, I listening to the show, I just wonder, and maybe y'all are like me, do you ever wish we could just go back to the days where you fixed a car by what you know what was going wrong?
Yeah. Yeah. You know, it's they're different. They are different. You know, it's
I had a friend of mine who had about a 2000 Mustang, was running hot, took it to a shop, they put it on their little computer. Oh, the heat sensors is bad. Mm-hmm. Well, $300 later, the next day, the thing is sitting on the side road.
Right.
She called me, I go pick it up and, you know, get it back to the house, and I get it over here, and I, you know, $5 thermostat fixed that problem.
Right, right. Yeah. Anyway,
I do have a question for you.
Okay.
For guests. 2012 Nissan got a reoccurring problem with a misfire on number two cylinder. She just replaced the coil pack.
Right.
Maybe 3 or 4 months ago.
Right.
And I want to say it's the same cylinder. What would cause that to reoccur?
Well, did she replace the spark plug at the same time?
Yes.
Yeah. Okay. I know, and the reason I ask that is a lot of times what you'll see is you'll have a carbon tracking on the plug, and it'll be there, and it also transfers over to the coil pack. Well, you can put a new coil pack on it and or a new plug on it. If you don't replace them both together, that carbon tracking will transfer back to the other component. But, I would probably start with moving, you know, if I couldn't isolate what the problem was, if it wasn't a dead miss, I would probably move the coil to a, say, number one cylinder, and I'd move the plug to number four cylinder and see if it moves the misfire, you know, if it stays on.
Well, that sounds like a good idea, but, unfortunately, she's probably taking it to the shop tomorrow, and I'm not definitely positive that it was the same cylinder, but I just put my little code reader on it. It don't tell me nothing but what the problem is.
Right.
And I want to say that's the one that we just had fixed a couple months ago.
Right, right. Which, you know, if it happens to be a different cylinder, those coil packs, they're all the same age, and they really had some problems with those on that little car. So it wouldn't surprise me for another one to go bad. I know they get expensive when you try and replace them as sets, but, you know, that's what you got to do. Yeah.
Well, I know you guys got other calls coming, and I just want to call in and say, hey, how y'all doing? Simplify, and Tom, I'll be talking to you later on.
Hoorah.
All right, Jarhead, I appreciate it. Anyway, we're going to get to our next caller, and we have, I believe it was Doug, right?
Yeah.
Hey, so you had a question for us on electric cars. Yeah, we're doing great. We're doing great.
All right, just a question.
Uh-huh.
You buy an electric car, you keep it, the battery goes bad after, say, 10 years.
Right.
Where does that battery go?
Well, I don't know yet. And we're dealing, you know, in my capacity, you know, I'm dealing with General Motors and their electric cars, and all of our batteries are, if we replace one, we're doing an exchange deal with General Motors or the manufacturer of the battery, whoever they're. General Motors is sending us a battery, but I know they don't build the battery, so you know we're getting it from somebody that they've sourced it through. But
a lot of people won't know. Did they go to a battery graveyard?
Oh, battery hell, I guess. I don't know.
Everybody's concerned about the green deal.
Right.
Well, take a field and start lining up batteries?
You know, and yeah, this is going to be, it's going to be a problem before it's over with. There'll have to be, you know, facilities to take care of it. But, you know, and basically it's the same battery that we were talking earlier, but that are in your little hand drills and that kind of stuff. There's probably 100 times more of those out there than there are electric car batteries so far. So,
yeah,
you know,
most people just,
they just toss them.
Throw them into trash.
So that's
so your landfills are going to be full of car batteries.
right. So it's I don't know. They're going to have to come up with a better way to recycle them. I'm sure there will be. Heck, in 10 years, the way the technology has been moving, you may be able to pour a bottle of water in the car somewhere and it just makes power all on its own.
We're laughing at that, but it could happen.
Right.
But
that's the thing.
And I mentioned it a while ago, is the technology is coming so damn fast that this time next year, we'll probably have a solution for that.
Right.
And
Old guys like us, it's getting harder and harder to deal with.
Oh, my Lord, man, right. Yeah. My brain don't comprehend all this stuff.
Well, I can say is...
Well, I appreciate your time.
All right. I appreciate you calling in. But
have a great one.
You too. But, you know, and one thing I will say about the electric vehicles is I do not recommend the general public to work on the electrical system in these. You know,
you get electrocuted, man.
There's people out there that can probably work on them.
Oh, yeah.
You know?
But
I'm not going to say there's not, but
they're few and far between.
If they don't have the special equipment do them, it's a problem.
Right.
Yeah. You have to have special lifting tables. You have to have special support mechanisms to take the batteries in and out because they can't be flexed, more than just a little bit. There's just so many things. Plus, you have to make sure you bleed that cooling system extremely well because you don't want air pockets in that cooling system because a hot spot will kill a battery in there.
Right.
You won't know if it's got air in
it. Yeah. Well, and here you go again. It's like our cooling systems, steam doesn't remove heat.
Right. So it's, the technology's getting better by the day.
It's coming, guys.
We do have Rapid Ray sent a message here. I heard GM dropped the price of the Bolt to $26,600, which I'm not sure about that number, but I'll take his word for it. My thoughts on it, which I think that's a great deal. I mean, if they really want to push this, they got to make them affordable to the masses.
Right.
The Bolt, actually, I'm kind of impressed with that little car. I've driven a few of them. And they're pretty impressive power-wise and the way they function and do. It's a little car, but
they're good suburban transportation. They're good round town transportation.
It's great round town transportation, and it's still capable of. I think it's about 260 miles.
Okay.
So yeah, that's not bad. It ain't bad at all. But sound like we've run out of our show tonight. But I do want to thank everybody for listening to the Car Doctor Show, and we will be back next week.
And a big old hoorah to all of our veterans out there. God bless all of you. We appreciate you helping us be able to have our country here where we can bitch and moan and carry on.
And men like Kicks and Ronnie make it move. Living like a gypsy.